Praise the Lord, saints. Will you stand with me? Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalms 89. Praise the Lord. Verse 18 verses. It says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built. Mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever. And build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, and one that is slain, thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitations of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted, for thou art the glory of their strength. And in thy favor, our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Almighty God, Father God, great, mighty, and strong you are, O Lord. And we have come to this place, Lord, to worship you, Lord, with all of our being, Lord. We're so grateful for all that you have accomplished in the earth, all that you're doing in our lives, Lord. Oh, Father, what you did at Calvary, you did it just for me. We all have that testimony, Lord. If you came and died for one, you did it just for me. And we're so grateful, Lord, for this grace. Father God, we welcome you to this service, asking that you would come, Lord. Fulfill your purpose in our lives, Lord. Speak to our hearts this morning, Lord God. And may you be pleased, Lord, with the results, Lord, of your efforts, Lord, as you speak to a people that believe. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your presence, even now. It's in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a little song I want to sing with you. It's called The Old Rugged Cross. Amen. There's just something about that cross. It means the world to us all. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. The old trophies at last I lay down, and I will cling to the spells victory. Amen. That's when our victory was won. When our Savior hung there, he could have come down. He had all the power in the world to come down. Amen. But he achieved our victory. Amen. If he would have came down, we'd still be lost this day. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for the cross. Hallelujah. Just let the glory of the Lord, everybody say, rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord, everybody say, rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Come on. Say, oh, 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 let it rise. Sing it again. Come on, let the glory. Just let the glory of the Lord, everybody say, rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord, everybody say, let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Say, oh, let it rise. Just let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord, everybody say, let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Say, oh, let it rise. Come on, say, oh. Say, oh, let it rise. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the songs of the Lord, everybody say, rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Say, oh, let it rise. Come on. Say, oh, let it rise. Just let the joy of the Lord rise among us. Let the joy of the Lord, everybody say, and let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Let the joy of the Lord rise among us. Let the joy of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Say, oh, let it rise. Come on, say, oh, oh, let it rise. Praises of our King. Come on, lift your voice. Say, oh, oh, oh. One more time. Say, oh, oh. Let it rise. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands.
Computers will mess you up. I'm looking at one thing and seeing another thing up there. Amen. But God is God anyhow. And God's got a blessing with your name on it. Amen. We're going to try and sing that one. Praise the Lord. I'll go high. I don't want to.
makes no difference what you're going through. You're gonna make it. God's gonna see you through. Hold your head up. Put a smile on your face. It's just another test. Trouble won't last always. So get ready for your blessing. Get ready for your miracle. Get ready for your blessing. Get ready for your miracle. I know you've been hurting deep down inside. Let me encourage you, it's gonna be all right. Troubles and trials come to make you strong. Keep on believing, you keep holding on. So get ready for your blessing. Get ready for your miracle. Get ready for your blessing. Get ready for your miracle. God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing with your name on it. God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing with your name on it. 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 God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing. With my name on it. 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 Come on, tell your blessing. Tell your neighbor. God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing. With your name on it. 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 Come on, make it personal. With my name on it. 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 Come on, say it. With my name on 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 it. God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing. With your name on it. 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 Oh, God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing. With your name on it. 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 With my name on it. With my name on it.
with my name on it, with my name on it. God's got a blessing, 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 with our name on it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You are the blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. A people that's found favor in his sight. Washed in the blood, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Oh, God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing. God's got a blessing. With our name on it. 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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Praise the Lord. My Lord, it's hard to end a song like that. My God, you all can have your seats. We're going to try and get to our special seats now. It's Brother Jeffrey, was he here? Okay, no problem, no problem. Praise the Lord. Amen. We'll ask Sister Rebecca to come this morning. God bless you, sister.
Bless you. Y'all sing with me. You met me deep in my despair to show me. Because I was made for so much more. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Though heavy with the weight of my mistakes, you carried me and refused to let me sink under the pressure you meant for me to soar. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me. And nothing can separate me from your love when there's so much more still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight, towards victory. By the power of your might, you're straightening out my path and opening every door. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me. Nothing can separate me from your love when there's so much more still worth fighting for. No eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me. And nothing can separate me from your love when there's It's worth it, so worth it. Ooh, it's worth fighting for. It's worth it, so worth it. Ooh, it's worth fighting for. That's why I'm pressing towards the mark. Because the calling on my life is worth fighting for. And I'll keep my mind stayed on you, Jesus. Because the peace it brings is worth fighting for. And I'll be faithful to what you called me to be. Because your will for me is worth fighting for. Know this world is not my home, but your kingdom here is worth fighting for. And I've got a mansion over in glory, and my new home is worth fighting for. Till I see it, I'll shout hallelujah, 'cause my praise is worth fighting for. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Life with you is worth fighting for. Hallelujah, hallelujah, life with you is worth. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. There is so much more still worth. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. There is so much more still worth. Fighting for. No eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me. No eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me. One more time, see eyes, eyes have, ears haven't heard. Oh, all you have planned for me. And there is so much more still worth fighting for.
You believe that this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sister Tanya, will you come? God bless you. Thank you so much, Sister Rebecca. Praise the Lord. There is so much more worth fighting for.
God bless you. Desperately waiting to be where you are. I'll cross the hottest desert. I'll travel near or far for your glory. I will do anything. just to see you, to behold you as my king. I want to be where you are. I want to be where you are. I've got to be where you are. I want to be where you are. Lord, if I find favor in your sight, Lord, please hear my heart's cry. I'm desperately waiting to be where you are. I'll climb the highest mountain. I'll travel near or far for your glory. I will do anything just to my King, for your glory. I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. I wanna be where you are. I wanna be where you are. I've gotta be where you are. I've gotta be where you are. I've gotta be where you are. I wanna be where you are. I've gotta be where you are. I wanna be where you are. I've gotta be where you are. I wanna be where you are. Lord, take me where you are. Lord, elevate me where you are. I've gotta be where you are. I wanna be where you are. I've gotta be where you are. In heavenly places where you are. Lord, take me where you are. I've gotta be where you are. I wanna be where you are. I've gotta be where you are. For your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. I wanna be where you are. I've gotta be where you are. I wanna be where you are. I gotta be where you are. Oh, to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. All worldly pleasures, they're all forsaken. Daily at your to Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Do you want to be where he is? Hallelujah. He's provided the way. Amen, amen. God bless you, Sister Tanya. We certainly appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Before we take a request, I want to say thank you to Brother David St. Jean. God bless you. It's good to have you in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, sister. I don't know you in the back, but God bless you. It's good to have you in the house of the Lord as well. Praise the Lord. Amen. I have a prayer request up here from Brother Jerry. It says, asking the church to remember me in prayer as I travel this coming week overseas. Thank you to the Bride of Christ. So, amen. We want to pray for our precious brother as he goes overseas. I'd like for you to pray for my family. I actually lost a cousin last week, and her funeral was actually Friday. But was it yesterday or the day before? No, her funeral is next week. Sorry about that. But then her sister, she had a mild stroke a few days ago. And last night, they had to fly her to Orlando. She had an aneurysm. So we like to keep my cousin Sherlan in prayer. Just pray for my family. And remember me, I have surgery on my shoulder January 24th. So I just ask that you pray and believe with me. Pray for the surgeon. Praise the Lord and pray for me. Amen. We want to continue to pray for one another. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. We'll bow our hearts in prayer. Amen. Brother Devin, will you come and lead us in prayer this morning, my brother?
God bless you, church. Lord, we just humbly come to you today, Lord Jesus. Just first and foremost, Lord Jesus, and thank you for everything you have done for us. Lord Jesus, let's continue to keep us under your wing, Lord Jesus. We just can't stop thanking you and praising you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for giving us the will to do it, Lord Jesus, that we do it on our own, Lord Jesus, that we, that you just continue to keep everyone, Lord Jesus, in your vision, Lord Jesus. Help us to continue to walk the path that you have before us, Lord. We also just thank you for our pastor, Lord Jesus. We just thank you, just continue to strengthen him, Lord Jesus, continue to bring the word that he does, Lord Jesus, to help us, Lord Jesus. He's just a humble servant, Lord Jesus, and I thank you for him myself, Lord Jesus, personally. Lord and Jesus, thank you for the church that you already have built for us, Lord Jesus. Give us the strength just to continue to hold on to that, Lord Jesus, and to be able to walk into the door that you have provided for us, Lord. We just ask you this. Continue to, Lord Jesus, be the Father that you are. And we thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus, over the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. We will have Sisters Prayer Tuesday at 7:30, and our annual church business meeting will be January 25th, amen, at 7:30, so we all want to make sure we be there. And Brother Wesco's meetings have been canceled. The meetings that were January 19th and 20th, they have been canceled, so we want to remember that. We also have Spirit and Truth meetings coming up. The banquet will be February 15th. You can still sign up on the church's website. It's for those 13 and up. Amen. The cutoff date is January 24th. Amen. And the church services that weekend will be February 16th and 17th. Amen. Brothers, will you come this morning? We'll take up this morning's tithing and offering.
bow our heads, saints. Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts to you, Father. We thank you for another wonderful gathering here on a Sunday morning, Father. Father, you have been more than grateful to us, Father. You have met all our needs, Father God, and you have been a blessing to us. And we want to bring this blessing back to you, Father, by being obedient to you, Father, and giving a little of what you gave to us back to you, Father, like you asked us, trusting that you will answer all our prayers and meet all our needs, Father, like you've done in the past. We ask you to be with us through this service, Father, and may the Holy Spirit, Father, just fall upon us, Father, and may we be able to have a wonderful time together and something to rejoice throughout the week, Father. We thank you and we ask you these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Brother Jeffrey, will you come?
The chains of yesterday surround me. I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me. And it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake tonight. I know you've cast my sin as far as the east is from the west. And I stand before you now as though I've never sinned. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been from rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I found rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west, one scarred hand to the other. I start the day the war begins. Endless reminding of my sin. Time and time again, your truth is drowned out by the storm I'm in. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been from rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I found rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west. One scarred hand to the other, I know you wash me white. You turn my darkness into light. Oh, I need your peace to get me through, to get me through this night. I can't live by what I feel, but by the truth your word revealed. I'm not holding on to you, but you're holding on to me. Lord, you're holding on to me. Amen. Jesus, you know just how far the east is from the west. I don't have to see the man I've been from rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy, I found rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west. One scarred hand to the other, 'cause you know just how far the east is from the west. One scarred hand to the other. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen, I like that. How far the east is from the west. You know they never found an east or west pole. Amen. But it's from one scarred hand to the other, man. I like that. That's beautiful. Amen. God bless you, Brother Jeffrey. We certainly do appreciate that. Amen. We're going to invite our pastor. Will you all stand to your feet? It's actually two different songs going through my mind, but I'm going to stick with one. Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me. Sing it if you know it. Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want for me. Come on, help me sing it. Sing righteousness, yeah. Righteousness, righteousness is what I long for. Righteousness is what I need. Sing righteousness is what you want for me. Come on. Take my life. Take my life. My heart.
Take my mind, transform. Take my will, conform it to yours, say, take my heart and mold it. Take my mind, transform it.
Holiness, holiness,
oh, holiness, holiness is what I long for, and holiness is what I need. Oh, holiness, holiness is what you want from me. Take my heart, oh, take my heart and mold it, and take my mind, my mind, and transform it. Lord, take my will, yeah, and conform it to yours, to yours. To yours, take my heart and mold it. Hey, take, transform it. Lord, take my will. Hey, conform it to yours. To yours, to yours. One more time, take my heart and mold it. Take my mind, transform it. Oh God, take my will and conform it to yours, to yours. Holiness, holiness, hey. Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Yes, and holiness, hey, say, holiness is what you want from me. It's 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 what you want from me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be his holy name. My God. Amen. Why don't you just turn around and greet somebody. Say, so good to see you this morning. Amen. In the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just want to say thank you to all the specials, amen, that went forth. Musicians, amen, all that you all have done to add to the service today. Just a wonderful atmosphere. Y'all got started in that song. God's got a blessing. I had to get up out my chair and shout a little bit in my office. That was all right. I said, boy, yeah, God got a blessing with my name on it. I claim it for myself. Claim it for myself.
Amen. But we certainly appreciate all things. Thank you, musicians. I appreciate you all. If you all just quickly just grab a hold of your Bibles. Amen. And they told me earlier, Precious Sister Patricia, is that right? Okay. Thank you so much for coming. Amen. They told me that you come visit, and I was out of town one time, but you came back. So good to have you, amen, with us on today. I'm going back to Joel chapter 2, but quickly, let me just make a couple of announcements as we go there. Brother Israel Poe will be here on Wednesday. Amen. He texted me on yesterday and said, I'm going to be in Miami, and I'm looking for somewhere to go to church. I said, okay, come on. You can come to church right here and put a little something in your bag. So on Wednesday night, Brother Israel will be here preaching for us. Amen. And Brother Smiley happened to reach out to me this morning about something. I said, Brother Smiley, we got Brother Israel coming. Y'all church invited, you know, on Wednesday night. So, amen. You ain't got nothing going. Come on to church on Wednesday night. Amen. I'm sure you'll be blessed. Amen. My Brother Israel. Also, those of you all I mentioned on Wednesday night, some of you all I know received invitation for Brother Simba's wedding. Amen. Others have expressed a desire to go. But as you know, with all weddings, you know, you have a list that you have to go by and things like that. So I ask that those that that are planning to go to his wedding, amen, you've been invited and you're planning to go, please make sure you let me know. We're going to have to coordinate some things together. So please let me know. There are others that might not have been invited. Amen. And you desire to go, please let me know. Amen. I can't promise you that you're going to be able to go, but please at least let me know and we'll see how things work out. And there are some that were invited that you know that you won't be able to attend. Make sure you let me know that so that Brother Simba's list and his numbers, you know, they can adjust accordingly. I want to be the one that want you to funnel things through me. I don't want you to burden Brother Simba with that. Amen. Let him just concentrate on getting married. But please funnel everything through me because we're going to need to coordinate some things. It's not just a ceremony that's happening in Riviera Beach. You understand what I'm saying? This happening on the other side of the world. So we need to coordinate some things together. And please just make sure you route it through me and let me know ASAP. Amen. If you're planning on doing that. So that's if you desire to go, but maybe didn't get an invitation. If you got an invitation, amen, from Brother Simba and not able to go, if you got one and you are able to go, just whatever the condition is, please let me know. We'll take it from there. One last thing, we did a little outreach here just a few weeks ago. We had everybody buy some stuff for teachers. And Sister Tina put it all together, amen, in little bags. We found a school right here down the street, had 52 teachers. We took 52 bags down there to the school. And when I got there, I'm like, Lord, I can't find nobody to give this to. And I said, Lord, please open up a door. Let me find somebody. And I pulled around back of the school, and I saw a guy coming out the back. So I pulled around the back, found a janitor, and said, hey, we want to give you all these, you know, these bags here. And he said, I said, is there a place for me to put them? He said, yeah. He says, this is a donation? I said, yeah, from our church to the school. He said, I'm going to get the principal. So he went and getting the principal, and the principal came. He's like, is this a donation? I said, yeah, we heard that y'all had 52 teachers, so we brought 52 bags, and we're going to give y'all this. He said, the principal was like, well, let me help unload some of this. I say, sure, we'll take the help. And God sent about three other people to help us unload everything, and we blessed that school, you know, with some supplies. And the principal is very, very appreciative of that. So I want to thank everybody for just contributing to that. And as we come to the business meeting, we'll talk about some of the things that we do as outreach for the church and how everybody can be involved in helping make an impact in our community. Amen. So praise the Lord. We thank God for all things. Let's go back to Joel 2. We started a path on Friday night, and I felt that it would, amen, be good for us to kind of keep going down this path. I must give a disclaimer, amen, as we get started here. We are moving into some things that pertain to this day, scriptures that pertain to the day that you live, amen. And so we're going to be kind of talking about some things, and it might be very what I would call message-centric, Amen. But God sent a message in your day to get you prepared for a rapture. And I need to tell you about some of those things, right? Amen. God sent a message in Noah's day to get them ready to get in a boat. All they had to do was listen and get in the boat, right? Amen. God always sends messages to his people. So this is going to be very message-centric. My intention is to point you in the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ, but understanding what God is doing in your day is extremely important. Amen. We're not just going to church just to go to church, not just going through the motions, but we got a purpose. We're trying to make a rapture. Amen. And we need the food, the necessary food, to prepare us for rapture. Amen. So we're going to be talking a lot about that, and I'm going to do my best just to kind of take my time and let the Holy Spirit just have his way. I'm not going to rush. We'll get as much as we can, and then we'll go from there. But here in Joel 2, amen, I'm reading two scriptures today, Joel 2 and Revelation 10. Joel 2, verse 28 says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." Amen. "And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit." Amen. Let's just slip over here to Revelation 10. Amen. And just verse 7. To most of you, this is a very familiar scripture. Amen. But it says this. This is a scripture that was actually manifested in this time. My God. We look at Revelation and most churches run from it. But this is something that actually happened during this time. I'm talking about over the last, within the last 100 years, this was manifested. Amen. Amen. It says, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets." Let's pray, amen, over the word of God. Father, we thank you for the ability to read scripture, but we trust that the Holy Spirit now will bring clarity to the things that we are reading. Help us, Lord, to enter in and receive from heaven, even at this time. We take control over every spirit that is against your spirit. And, Father, we ask that you would just be free to move in this place. Everyone that has come here today, Lord, you ordain to be here. So, Father, may you speak from heaven, and may we all draw closer to you through the words that we hear today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. So good to see Brother Dave back there. Amen. I hadn't seen him in a good while. God bless you, my precious brother. Good to see you. Amen. We were talking on Friday night, amen, on the subject of three realms, amen, and we're going to continue in that vein today, or in that channel, if I could put it that way. Just start me off with this quote from the message, "The Ark," amen. Three realms is what we're talking about here today, amen. This first quote just kind of says, there's three elements that people live in. And I want to call it realms, right? But three elements that people live in. First is the humanistic. Second is divine revelation. And third is vision. Amen. These are the three realms that we're talking about. Humanistic, divine revelation, and vision. Now, this, like in prayer, when you pray for anyone in a humanistic, we say, "Well, I hope you'll get well." Oh, hallelujah. Amen. It's a difference when it's divine revelation. But in humanistic, it's always a prayer of just hope. I hope you get well. I'm just going back to a testimony I heard on yesterday. Amen. One of the sisters was sharing, just break that down just a little bit for me. Was just sharing with me how, I want to say this. When God puts you in contact with people, amen, it's for a purpose. Right. People that he bring into your life is for a purpose. It's not just, just wasted time or anything like that. But this sister was telling me how, she was working on the job and she used to have to take telephone calls from this person all the way out in Oklahoma. And here she's standing in Florida taking telephone calls from Oklahoma. And the lady would be sending a fax, and they have to stand there and guard the fax machine. So they would, talk on the phone before the fax was coming. And over time, they built a relationship. And the lady began to talk amen, about, you know, just some of the things she was going through. And one of the things was her daughter couldn't have children because she had no womb. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. She had no womb. And so the sister just began to just kind of, you know, just take that and just, you know, just kind of, you know, I mean, being a, you know, if that lady would have told that to a man, it might not have had the same impact that it had by her telling it to a woman. Right, because a woman understands how to, you know, she desires to have this child. She wants to have this child, so she sympathizes with her, and she began to pray for the young lady. And one day, you know, just standing there, the Holy Spirit said, "Tell that mother that her daughter will have a child." When you get on the phone, tell her she will have a child. Thus saith the Lord, pretty much, right? She will have a child. Now you gotta understand this girl ain't got no womb. How's she going to have a child, right? So, but divine revelation came down, amen, and divine revelation says she will have a child, right? So, you know, kind of got around and danced around a little bit, and then, you know, when the mother got on the phone, you know, she just kind of didn't say too much then. She said, you know, I just got to tell you, you know, your daughter going to have that baby. She's like, she ain't got no womb. How's she going to have a baby? I say, I'm just letting you know. The Lord told me to tell you that your daughter going to have that baby. And she said, okay, all right, we'll just see. Well, time goes by. And she never said another word to the lady. She'd take them faxes and never said another word. Well, one day the lady didn't have a fax. But she had a telephone call to make. One day she got on the phone and said, I ain't got no fax today, but I got some news to share with you. My daughter is pregnant. The one without the womb, she's pregnant. Divine revelation dropped down into that situation and said, tell your daughter. Now, remember, this goes back to last Sunday's message. Because Joshua, when he stopped the sun, amen, it was not simply because the Israelites was in battle. The Israelites were helping the Gibeonites. It's the Gibeonites that was in trouble. Right, but God can anoint you to help your brother. God can anoint you to help your sister. Hallelujah, somebody. Here she's standing in Florida. The other person in Oklahoma ain't even never met the person, but God connected them. Hallelujah. God don't make no mistake. God don't make no mistake. Come on, somebody. Amen, amen. I believe God is an on-time God, and he's a, amen, he's a God that has he has structure to what he's doing. He, every time something happens, he knows what's getting ready to happen. Come on, somebody. Amen. But divine revelation can strike like that. This quote goes on to say, this says, like in a prayer, when you pray for anyone in humanistic, we say, well, I hope you'll get well. See, I'm hoping, I'm believing with you, trying to use all the faith I can. That's human, right? You say, second is divine revelation. When something's revealed to you, you just know in your heart it's going to happen, yet there's nothing but just the revelation. No sensation, no emotion. All you got is the revelation. And can I tell you something? That's all you need. Amen. All you need is a revelation. As Jesus says, upon this rock of revelation, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. Hallelujah. Say, I said, nothing but just a revelation. And third is a vision. Of course, that's thus saith the Lord, that's perfect and positive. Now, you know, I shared with you all last week how, you know, the prophet got a man of divine revelation just to read the scripture about Joseph, and he fell so in love with the character in the scripture that God told him, say, I'm going to give you a Joseph. And, you know, in due time, he had a Sarah, but, amen, we know that was all God's plan. But and even though people criticized him, said, I thought maybe you meant Josephine, not Joseph. No, God told me a Joseph. And in due time, God gave him exactly what he said through divine revelation. Right. Can I tell y'all something? You all are sitting in this church today based on divine revelation.
Yes.
I'm going to just share a quick testimony. I ain't going to go too far in it. But, you know, I remember years before this church got started, I was just reading my Bible, and I was going through John 15. And as I was reading John 15, it was just talking about how, you know, a tree, in order to be more fruitful, a tree has to be cut.
Amen. And he say, even though the tree might be bringing forth fruit, in order to be more fruitful, it has to be cut. It has to be pruned. Right? And I was like, okay, Lord, what you trying to tell me out of scripture? Like, okay, you speaking something to me. And I'm holding on to that. And I went to a convention maybe about a month after that, and the first preacher come out of the gate, turned to John 15, and he preached a sermon, fruit, much fruit, more fruit. I say, oh, God. Say, I know you're speaking to me. If nobody else is here to hear this, this one is for me. And as he preached that sermon, I sat there, amen, listening to him preaching. I said, okay, Lord, I'm yielding. I understand what you're saying something here to me. I'm yielding. What do you want me to call the name of the church? Now, what he was telling me is that I was in a fruitful church. But in order for me to bring forth more fruit, I had to go through a purging. Hallelujah. Amen. I know he's telling the truth because I'm looking at you today. Amen. And this is more fruit. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something? Amen. Sometime when God do that, it's because your ministry will reach people that the other ministry will never reach. God got purpose for everything. Hallelujah. Some folk will grow better underneath your ministry than they will underneath another ministry. It's nothing wrong with the other. It's a very fruitful ministry, but God want to bring forth more fruit. That's all. Amen. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm saying it away not to put nobody down. I'm lifting everybody up. Huh? God using everybody for his glory. Amen. Come on, somebody. But I sat there in that meeting. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? I said, what do you want the name of the church to be? He said, Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. After I read John 15, after I heard that minister preach, that's when God gave me Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. Now, I had to wait on that. I couldn't just go start immediately and start building Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. I had to wait. And it took about 2 years before I even told anybody, before I even told my wife what God had said to me. It took me about 2 years. And, you know, we had about 2 years later, she and I had this conversation in the car, and we knew God was transitioning us. And, you know, and she said, well, what the name of the church going to be? I say, Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. She said, well, how you say it? Why you say it so fast like that? I said, because God did this and God did this and God. I say, oh, she said, oh, okay. So when I knew that, you know, oh, come on. You got to have a wife that's going to support you. You ain't really got a ministry if your wife ain't supporting you. Somebody say amen. Right? But when God just began to deal with her, then I knew that we could do this thing, right? So but the way that I got that and the way we got here is because God dropped divine revelation down, and that's all I stood on. I had no vision, I had no emotion, I had no feeling, I had divine revelation, and I stood on that.
Amen.
Thank God for the fruit of it. Amen. So sometimes you're gonna have divine revelation, you have to stand on that.
Right.
And like I said on Wednesday night, when a person amen, has faith or revelation, because faith is a revelation. Uh-huh. When a person has faith and they can see things, what they're doing, amen, they see things that other people can't see because the others are blind to it.
Right.
Now, in the natural, if you have a person that's blind, you don't fuss at them. You don't yell and scream, say, can't you see that? Watch where you're walking. Can't you see that? The car almost hit you. No, you don't do that with a blind person, but you're patient with them. Hold on to my arm. Walk with me. And I'm going to make sure you get through this thing safely. Huh? It's the same thing spiritually. You got to be patient with folk and wait for God to bring them to the level where you at. Can I tell you something? Even if God show you something in a dream, even if God show you something in a vision, you have to learn to be patient with others.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah, somebody. I got something to say here.
Uh-oh.
Come on now. I'm going to say this. Let me see where I got this now. I want to say it just right. If a gift is not handled right, it could destroy a family or even a church. Can I say it again? If a gift is not handled right, it could destroy a family or even a church. Give me questions and answers. Part two.
Praise the Lord.
See, oftentimes dreams may be symbolic. Vision symbolic, so you have to pray over interpretations. Right. Amen. And I want to say this before I get started. We're not afraid to accept what God has promised us according to Joel 2. Amen. We simply want to align it with the word.
Amen.
Now, watch this. This goes along with that statement, gifts are not, if they're not handled right, they could destroy families or even churches. Look at this question. Brother Branham, what shall we do? Something has settled over me that I cannot break through. Last fall, I dreamed I was lost in white sand. It was getting dark. I couldn't find it. I couldn't find my way. This dream has stayed with me since last fall. Now, I am as one groping in darkness. My son, Irvin, and wife are included in my dream. Now, they are also in darkness. We are in desperation. I believe God will show you what it is. What is in our hearts now? All right. If we're wrong or sinning places, tell us. We want to be right. Look at the answer now. I don't know the lady, but I just feel if you're here, lady, that here's your trouble. You have let something happen to you that's made you nervous, because being in white sands represents purity and righteous. See, I told you dreams and things are sometimes symbolic. You got to pray over them. Amen. It says being in white sand, amen, represents purity and righteous. You're just letting Satan put one over on you. Your dream proved that there's nothing wrong. Come on now. Says you're only nervous, and by doing this, because you're nervous, by doing this and thinking this, you're making the rest of your family nervous. Stop doing it. I like that. Amen. Because she's nervous, she's making her family nervous. Stop doing it. That's why I say a gift can destroy a family if it's not handled right. Right? Say, stop doing it. Amen. He says, say, claim your God-given rights. Your dream proves by the interpretation that you are in white sand. Everything is all right. It's you, yourself, nervous, and you let one member of the family get nervous. It goes to the next member, and the first thing you're all fussing and going on, and one member of the family gets kind of upset about something, it upsets the other, and the other, and the other, and the first thing you know, the whole family's upset. It's Satan. Says, then if one member of the family rejoices, let the rest of them rejoice with it. So everyone in the family try to do that. Try each one of you children to help your papa, mama, you, papa, papa, you try to help the children. Don't let that gloomy, unbelieving spirit get around you. Can I say it again? Doubt your doubts. Don't let that gloomy, unbelieving spirit take over your family. Amen. You are Christians. You are born of the Spirit of God. You are the salt of the earth. You have God-given rights. And the Bible said if there be any praise, yes, if there be any virtue, yes, think on these things. See, put the dream back in the scripture. Think on these things. Don't think about the wrong thing. And sister, I think that's your trouble, sister dear. So all she needed is just a little correction on a dream to understand what the purity, what the white represents. She's drowning in white sand, which means that she was pure. Right? Amen. It was pure. It was righteous. And the devil tricked her with her own dream.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's why you need people that can actually interpret these things.
Right.
Glory to God. And I'm going to tell you, if God has given people the ability to dream, he's also given somebody else the ability to interpret.
That's right.
All right. Can we go a little further?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, I want to show you something here in scripture. We've been talking about Mary a couple weeks, and I want to pick up Matthew, amen, 1:18-25. We read this a few weeks ago. I want to come back to it again. Amen. Matthew 1. Oh, God. These three realms that God deals with people in, humanistic, amen, divine revelation and visions. Sometimes a vision could also be a dream, because if the dream is correctly interpreted, it's a vision. Amen. If the dream is correctly interpreted. Now, every dream is not from God. Hallelujah. I don't care. And no matter how spiritual it is, every dream is not from God. Sometimes the devil wants to anoint you in that realm as well. Right? The devil will attack you while you're sleeping. And y'all know it's the truth.
Amen. That subconscious that you're in, the devil would love to try to get into that. You got to, sometimes that's why it's good, just pray over your mind before you go to bed. Amen. That way the devil just don't run roughshod all over and have you all up at night. You scared to go to sleep. Praise God. If you having bad dreams, put on a tape. Y'all didn't hear me. If you having bad dreams, put on a tape. I'm talking about the word, not music. The word. Let the word play inside your bedroom. And yet watch the atmosphere change in that bedroom. You'll be surprised. There are certain things that even go into your subconscious while you're sleeping. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You'd be wondering, the prophet said this, the prophet said, how did I know that? It went into your subconscious while you were sleeping. Get the word in there. If you want the devil's out, put the word in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I ain't never seen no devil overcome the word. He always running from the word. Come on, church. All right, let's go on a little further here. I'm in Matthew 1, verse 18. I want to just read this rather quickly, but I want to just kind of substantiate these things. Amen. This is another realm that God was using, amen, at this time. Look at this. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Amen. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. The angel of the Lord came to him how? In a dream. So the angel of the Lord can come to you how? In a dream. Saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, for me, I believe the angel's still talking in the next few verses. I believe it's not an insertion by the one that wrote this, by Matthew. I think this is the angel still talking. Look at this. He says, now all things was done that it might be fulfilled. All what things? She was pregnant. She was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, I believe the angel took Joseph back to the scripture, and by taking him back to the scripture with the dream, hallelujah, that could settle him. When you can get the scripture involved with what God showed you, then that should settle you. Come on, somebody, because now look at the next verse. Then Joseph being raised from sleep. So after the angel shared, amen, what was going on, how it was connected to prophecy, then Joseph raised, amen, from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord and bidding him, and took unto him his wife.
Right, amen.
Now let me just kind of drop a couple things in here, and I you can get this quote lined up for me. God is his own interpreter. I want you to understand, amen, something about that. Oh, my God. Let me read this quote first before I say that. Amen. Look at this. God is his own interpreter. The prophet makes a statement, says, did you ever notice how God dealt with Joseph there in a secondary way? So the dream was actually the secondary way. This is important. Right. The reason being is because if they don't get control over their gifts, then they would try to use dreams to dominate the church. Oh, the church ain't with me. You will use your gift to try to dominate and influence how things work in the church. Huh? But that's not the way it's supposed to go. The word of God is the thing that should dominate the church. The dream is secondary. All right, we together now. Did you ever notice how God dealt with Joseph there in a secondary way? In the way of a dream. We know there's dreams. We believe in dreams. I believe in dreams. God always dealt with people in dreams, but dreams is secondarily. See, it could be right or wrong unless it's interpreted. But he didn't need any interpretation. It was God himself speaking directly to Joseph, because there wasn't a prophet in the land in them days to interpret. There hadn't had a prophet for 400 years. So the next best that God cared for
the welfare of his own son will speak to Joseph through a dream, and without interpretation said, the woman is right. The holy thing which is conceived in her is the Son of God. Didn't need any interpretation. Listen, God does his own interpreting to honest, sincere hearts. Can I say that again? God does his own interpreting to honest, sincere hearts. Men and women that look upon this thing that's mysterious, if you're honest and sincere and will believe, God has a way of interpreting it to you. If you stay honest, you stay sincere, God has a way of interpreting that thing to you. Oh, my God, gonna interpret something to somebody today. Let me go on a little further. God gonna interpret something to somebody today. And if you just sincere and you wait on the Lord, he has a way of showing you. Can I go a little further? Amen. God has a way of interpreting to you. First, find out if it's promised. If Joseph had just went back and got away from the traditions and went back to the Bible and found out Isaiah said she was going to do that. And the things that were spoke of in his birth and all about it, it was spoke by the scriptures, by the holy prophets, as Peter said, and no man has a right to put any private interpretation to that. It's just exactly what God said would take place. He was the manifestation of the word of God promised for that day. God said it. So there it was that settled it. Now, I want to say something here. We know that dreams are a secondary way for God to get his revealed will to his people. His revealed will to his people. Dreams are a secondary way. The primary way is through his word or through the sending of a prophet. A prophet comes and he gives you the interpretation of the word. That's God's primary way. Hallelujah. Now let me go on a little further. We know that dreams are a secondary way for God to get his revealed will to the people. But when God brought Christ to the earth during his first coming, he used dreams and supernatural experiences to confirm his first coming. It's a secondary way, but God used the dream to confirm his first coming. That's why he went to Joseph in a dream. It was to confirm his first coming, that a virgin would conceive. Yes, hallelujah. Are you with me? Because I got to say something here. If God used dreams to confirm his first coming, is it possible that God could also use dreams, a secondary method of speaking to people? Can God use dreams to confirm his second coming? See, now we just turned a corner. Now we just turned a corner. Hey, y'all still with me? I ain't lose nobody yet, did I? Because I'm not trying to lose you. But I want you to stay with me because I'm bringing you current. Amen. I got you. I mean, everybody know about Joseph and Mary.
Right.
Hallelujah. Right. Everybody can read about that. And we believe that.
Yes.
But can I bring you further?
Yes, sir.
Can I take you to Revelation 10? And show you that before that was manifested,
right,
God used dreams to confirm that. All right, church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What's the purpose of dreams? The purpose. In Nebuchadnezzar's day, amen, when he called for Daniel to come forth and interpret the dream, because he was getting ready to kill everybody.
Right.
He said, and now the man had a dream, and he knew the dream was important, but he forgot it. He had no idea what he dreamed.
Right.
He like, now, and I know it's important. He said, now, you magicians, y'all supposed to have gifts. One of y'all better come tell me what I dream. They say, now, this has never been heard of, that a king tells the people to tell him you want us to tell you what you dream. No, you tell us what you dream, then we'll give you an interpretation.
Right.
He said, if you don't come up with what I dream, I'm a hack everybody in pieces. The man was serious. He knew the dream was important. The dream was actually a dream for the end time. The dream was a dream for this day. Nebuchadnezzar had it way back then, but he was looking into a future day. Come on, somebody. Sometimes the dream is to help you see something that's coming in the future. And God is using that to warn you about something. Oh, my God, my God. Hallelujah. Let me go a little further. He said, now y'all better give me the interpretation of my dream. Not only give me the interpretation, tell me what I dream, and give me the interpretation. He wanted both. So when they went and took the edict out to kill everybody, and see, this is why it's good to have relationships. Because Daniel had a relationship, and he kind of stopped the guy that was coming and said, no, wait, just give me a little time out here. Why are you being so hasty? So he said, look, now you can kill all them, but not me and my fellows over here. These three Hebrew boys, leave us alone. You can take care of the rest of them, but leave us alone. Give me a little time. I'll tell him what he dreamed. Now Daniel said he got to the king and he talked to him, said, just give me a little time, I'll tell you. And the Bible says Daniel began to pray and seek the Lord. This is why he even also asked the Hebrew boys. And that's why I said on Friday night, if you need something from God, that's why we come and pray. Right. And then God can use a gift in order to give you the answer to what you need. Yes, come on, somebody. Amen. The Bible tells us that these things are going to happen in the last days. So don't be afraid of them. Just get them lined up according to scripture. So Daniel and the Hebrew boys begin to pray. And the Bible say in a night vision, God brought that thing to Daniel. And when Daniel heard it, he began to rejoice. He began to thank God. He went to the king and said, now I need to tell you what you dreamed. And he told the king everything that he dreamed. And he said, yeah, that's exactly what I dreamed. And now it came back to him. He said, and Brother Branham even said, he can't give the interpretation unless God gives the vision of what you dream. If you went to the prophet with a dream, he could not give you the interpretation of the dream until God gave him the vision of what you dream. And there were many times that the prophet would tell the people, you forgot this part of your dream. And you forgot that part of your dream. And you forgot that part. And this happened and that happened. Say, yes, that's exactly right. Because God was showing him the vision of what was in the dream. Yes, sir. Exactly right, man. And once God showed Daniel the vision of what Nebuchadnezzar had in his dream, then Nebuchadnezzar could get free. He gave him a dream, and then he also gave him the interpretation. Hallelujah. Let me go a little further here. Oh, my God. Remember, there's three elements, three realms. Amen. That people live in: humanistic, divine revelation, and visions. Oh, glory. Now, what's the purpose of the dream? In Nebuchadnezzar's day, they needed clarity. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Can I also say this? Amen. And Joseph, before he married Mary, he needed direction. Anybody here need direction today? Yes, God can use a dream to give you some direction. I only had one person needed direction. Only one person in this church needs direction. All of us need some direction. All of us little, okay, which way should I, you know. You always operate like that. Right? But sometimes God can give the dream to somebody that you weren't even expecting. Oh, my God. And here they come tell you, well, you know, the Lord said something like this to me, and I don't know why he said that. And can I tell y'all something? If God give you a dream, just give the people what God gave you. Don't be fishing. Oh, y'all ain't heard me. Don't be fishing because God gave you something. Now you fishing. You know, the Lord gave me this. Now, what you think about that?
Come on.
No, that ain't what God told you to say. That what you think about that part is you. Keep that to yourself. Just give the people what God gave you and get out of the way. You want to know why? Because it's not about you. It's about God. Oh, y'all help me. I'm going further. So the dream, amen, in Joseph's day was for direction. All right? And Nebuchadnezzar's day, he needed clarity. In Joseph's day, he needed direction as to whether he should marry her or not. Right? So the dream gave him, it gave him direction. It settled his heart. It did all these things, right? The other thing, hallelujah, in the case of Joseph in the book of Genesis, the dream that he had showed him future status. The dream that Joseph had in Genesis of the 12 stars coming to bow before him and all of this, it's showing him future status. Yeah. Now, it did not show him what he was going to have to go through to get to future status. But the dream did show future status. And if God ever shows you future status, you can hold to that, knowing that somehow, some way, God going to bring you to it. Come on, church. Make sure it's lining up with the word, though, now. Yes, Come on now, because every dream ain't from God. If it's against the word, it's not from God. But the dream can show you future status. Now, I want to tell you something. Amen. Oh, my God. God used, after Joseph went through everything he went through, God used the interpretation of dreams to actually bring him into future status. He used the dream to show him future status. And then when Pharaoh had a dream that he couldn't interpret, they went and got Joseph out of the prison. God used the interpretation of dreams to bring him to future status. God can use a dream. Come on, church. All right, all right. Let me go a little further here. You know, I let me just give you a quick testimony. I had a brother right here in our church that had a dream of future status. And he had a dream about working for a particular company. And he never thought about even applying to work for this company. God gave him a dream, then he gave him a second dream, then he gave him a third dream. And why would he give three dreams? It's to confirm it. Right? Three dreams that he was going to work at this company. Now, he went and he just kind of mentioned it to a brother because he knew a brother in the church that was working. He's like, brother, I wouldn't mind joining your team. He's like, you joining my team? I never even thought that you would. I would never even considered you to join the team. Never even thought about you. He said, yeah, I wouldn't mind joining your team. He said, well, go ahead and apply for it then. So he applied. And you got to understand, the job that he was applying for, he had no credentials. You hear what I say? None. Was not qualified in the least bit for applying for this job. So when HR got a hold of it, no. Just a quick no. It's not going to even take us time to call a committee together. Amen. No, this is not going to happen.
Right.
Send it right on back through email. No, thank you for applying, but no. But the brother was holding on to the dreams. And see, I'm telling you, when God speaks through these means, this goes beyond no. This is why you want to get yourself in position where God can speak to you. You got to stop watching nonsense at night on TV. How are you getting your mind ready when you go to sleep with that nonsense? Get your spirit prepared for God to speak to you. He say, well, I got to know, and I went and told the brother, say, brother, they sent back and said, no, that, you know, I wasn't qualified. He say, they did? He say, okay, hold on. I'll call you back. I'll call you tomorrow. So he went to the boss and he went to the HR department. Say, I want to interview that guy. The guy didn't got no qualifications. Yes, I want to interview him. My God, my God.
Yeah, that's all right.
And I'm gonna tell you, you know, sometimes it's good. There was a book I read, you know, some years ago. But sometimes when you're looking for if and I got anybody here hiring. Sometimes when you're looking to hire people that might be outside of the skill set that you're looking for. Like this one job, they needed somebody that was real good with filing. They went to the library and got a librarian. Right? Because they had the skill set that they were looking for. Even though they might do it in the library, no, I want you to bring that knowledge of that, amen, that those skills over into this position. Think outside the box. So here this brother, he say, I'm going to talk to him and I'm going to get them to call you. He went. Talk to them. They say, okay, they set up the interview. HR set up the interview. Same people that told him no. And if he would have stayed with that rather than with the dream, he would have never got a job. Amen. You know what? He got the job. Amen. With no skills. Because God gave him the dream. Oh, my God. Now, I'm not talking about Martin Luther King type stuff here. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God speaking to you through a dream. Or through a vision, because these are three realms that God uses. Two of the three. Humanistic is another realm that humans live in, but God can use that to get his divine will revealed to people. Now, can I go a little further? A vision don't heal you. I was, you know, looking at, and I'm coming here in a little second. Amen. But a vision, if God gives a vision is not what heals the person. I was going back and looking at Congressman Upshaw's testimony. And he was, he walked into the meeting and the prophet said, I see a man, a young boy, he fell and he hurt himself. And now he's in a wheelchair, and you know, but I see him. He's coming into manhood, and he's becoming a great man, and now he's becoming a greater man, and now he's becoming a greater man. So I see this man, but I don't know his name. I don't know who he is. That's all I know is this man, and he's in a wheelchair. So the people raised up real quick. Say, sometimes, I'm going to tell you something. God don't have to call your name. He just got to call your condition.
All right. Amen. All right.
And the people that was around say that. Now, that's Congressman Upshaw that you're talking about, and he's here in a meeting. So he said he want to talk to you, Brother Branham. He said, okay. He said, son, how did you know that happened to me? He said, I'm just telling you what the vision said. He said, you know, I've been holding on for 60 years that God would heal me. Do you think God will heal me? He said, I don't know. The vision didn't show me that. It just showed me this. And he said, if you're holding on, just keep holding on. God will do something for you. So he said, okay, I'm just holding on. So he put the mic down, and Brother Branham began to pray for others. Then he saw another vision of this young girl that was operated on, and the doctor did this and the doctor did that. That's why you got to pray before you go underneath the doctor. Right, because the doctor did this and the doctor did that, and the young lady lost something, amen, some ability to do something. So the mother was there, and Brother Branham just kind of calling out, and the mother said, "That's my daughter." See, didn't know the name, but knew the condition. That's my daughter. That happened to her. Will she be healed? He said, "I can't tell you that. All I saw was her condition." So he went on in the prayer line, and all of a sudden he saw a little girl standing there with a little baby walking down the street, a little baby doll walking down the street. He said, "Mama, Auntie, thus saith the Lord, your daughter is healed." And she said, "Parson, when is she healed?" He said, "Right now." When the vision came, it was right then. Oh my God, I hope y'all get that. See, I mean, a vision came. The sister shared it last week. I'm expecting things right now. He said, right now, and the girl dropped whatever she said. "Mama, look at me." Yeah. Say, that girl jumped up and began to run around that place. Say, they had to get some ushers over there to settle them down. So then after that happened, then the vision popped about Congressman Upshaw. So he said he saw a brown suit with a stripe in it and all these other things. And he said, "Congressman, do you have a brown suit with a stripe?" He said, "Yes, I just bought it yesterday." He said, "Well, thus saith the Lord, you can receive your healing at 86 years old." And Congressman Upshaw said, "Well, when will I walk?" He said, "Right now. Put your sticks down and get up and start walking." And the congressman put them sticks underneath, and before he could get them all the way up, he dropped them down. He started walking at 86 years old. The vision is thus saith the Lord, and it is positive. And I got a question to ask. See, you know, you gotta watch this, because you know, if God's prophet was here giving you a vision, you'd be all over that. But the prophet not here. But those gifts are still here. And if somebody else came to you with a vision, are you able to accept that? Are you gonna look at them and say, "Well, now it's coming from you"? And if you doubt it, you might miss it. I asked how many of y'all had a need. How many of y'all need direction? God is able to use things like this to give you direction, to satisfy the need. But you got to be in a spot where you can receive it. And let me also say this. If you got a gift, your life got to be in alignment with your gift. I tell y'all, you know, we don't want game time Christians. You know what I mean? They only show up at game time. They're not at practice. We want people that's gonna be at practice and also at game time. Then we can trust you. We know what you're doing when you get on the court, because we done practice. We know what you're doing when we get on the field, because we done practice. I ain't running some different routes and you throwing interceptions. Come on, somebody. We can avoid that if we just come to practice. So we're not just looking for gifts just to be going running wild. We want it in control with the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. All right, I'm going further. Oh, Jesus. Amen. All right. Now, let me read a little statement here out of the sermon. Is this the sign of the end, sir? I'm going to paragraph 237 in this, and we're turning this corner and trying to just, I'll bring it home somewhere here, but I need to get to six dreams and one vision. Amen. I want to get to this. And I say God might answer somebody's, I believe God going to answer somebody's question even through this. Amen. Glory to God. This is a statement I need to read, though. I believe that the seventh angel of Revelation 10 is the seventh church age messenger, Revelation 3:14. Now, this is what the prophet is saying. This is his quote. He says, I believe that the seventh angel of Revelation 10 is the seventh angel or seventh age messenger of Revelation 3:14. Now, I just read Revelation 10:7, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, all the mysteries of God will be finished. I just read that. But now, if you want to know what angels he's talking about, you got to go back to Revelation 3:14. Hallelujah. Amen. It's the seventh angel to the seventh church age, which is Laodicea. Amen. The first angel to the first church age happened to be Paul. Ephesus. But throughout the years to the Gentile church ages. Amen. Not just to the Gentile church, but to the Gentile church ages, from the time of Jesus coming to earth and the Jews rejected him, to Paul picking it up and saying, we turn to the Gentiles. God has been dealing with Gentile people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. His attention has been on the Gentile people all the way up until this time. And amen, at the time of the tribulation, it goes back to the Jews. Yes, come on now. He's already started working a little bit with them.
Right. Amen.
Amen. But when we will look at this, what he's saying here, Revelation 10, amen, he says, I believe that the seventh angel of Revelation 10 is the seventh church age messenger of Revelation 3:14. Remember, now let me read. Look where I can read. Now, this was the seventh angel. Now, he goes on to say this in Revelation 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, he says, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. That's Revelation 10:7. He says, now notice, this was an angel, and it's the angel of the seventh church age, because it says here, the seventh angel of the seventh church age. I found that. If you want to see where that angel is, Revelation 3:14, the angel to the Laodicean church. And that's the age in which we're living in right now. This is the last age before Jesus will come. Amen. This is the Laodicean church age. Laodicea actually means people's rights. And if we're not living in an age where everybody got rights, not just people, animals, trees. I never been sued by a tree. But because somebody hugging the tree, right? Amen. They upset and they want to bring lawsuit in. Children can take their parents to court and the courts will listen to it. When God told me in my Bible, spare the rod, spoil the child. I told my girls when it was coming up, if I'm going to go to jail, it's going to be for something good. I got to be able to go to jail and smile. I'm going to give you something to call them for now. Glory to God. But this is the age of people's rights. So what was being spoken of, amen, in the book of Revelation was symbolic to something that was going to happen in a future day. Do you realize John, when he wrote Revelation, was caught up in a vision?
Yes, sir. Amen. Come on, now.
He was caught up in a vision. And he was writing from a vision. So if John, amen, caught it by vision, it would take a prophet to interpret the vision.
Yes, right. Amen.
That's why in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, then the mysteries will be finished. That means you don't have to stumble around and try to figure this out no more. Just listen to the voice of the seventh angel.
That's it. Amen.
Can I go further?
Go ahead. Take your time.
He made a statement, if the vision was scriptural, it must be interpreted by the scripture.
Right.
Then he says, or a continuation of the same scripture. So if the vision is scriptural, it must be interpreted by the scripture or a continuation of the same scripture. Now, I'm going to take time and just drop this in here, and then I'm going to these six dreams. I'm watching my time because I know how y'all are. Let's read Revelation 10:7 again. If the vision was scriptural, it must be interpreted by the scripture. See, when Joseph, amen, was told by the angel to fear not to take Mary as his wife, that they were fulfilling scripture with this, Joseph could be settled in spirit once he knew scripture was actually at play. Can I tell you something? When you're looking for a church, you're looking for somewhere to just settle. Once you know scripture is coming to play, that's what settles you. Can I tell you that? It's not the feeling. Amen. It's not the emotion. Yeah. I mean, if y'all wanted to shout, there was a time in the service that you could have shouted. Yeah. Yeah. When they hit that song a little early, you could have, you could have broke out one. But now we talk about settling you. We talk about you finding, amen, a place to settle. You know, the doves could not find a place to settle when the flood came.
Right.
The crows could eat up everything. They didn't come back to the ark. Man, they had a smorgasbord out there.
Right.
Hallelujah. They were going from church to church just eating anything and everything.
Right.
But the doves said, I ain't built like that. I can't eat that nonsense. Huh? I need to get back to the ark. I'm going to just bring a little leaf back. But the rest of the stuff I can't even touch.
Yes, sir.
They built different. Can I tell you the reason you sitting here today? Because you built different. Hallelujah, you eagles that was in a chicken coop trying to learn how to fly. Didn't even know what flying was all about. But when your mama came screaming over, what's your mama? The word of God. That your mama gave birth to you. The word of God gave birth to you. Mama came screaming over the word, say, now set your wings this way and fly on up here. Leave them chickens alone. And when you heard from mama, you start flying. And your wings ain't settled down yet. Come on, somebody. Glory to God. What I'm talking about. You flying into Revelation 10:7. You flying into Revelation 3:14. You're flying into Malachi 4. This goes beyond Daniel in the lion's den. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. It's right here in the Bible. I ain't saying nothing out the Bible. It's right here. Can I read a little bit? Glory to God. I said a vision, if it was scriptural, it must be interpreted by the scripture or a continuation of the same scripture. Now, Revelation 10:7 just told us that. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as if declared to the servants of the prophets. That was being continued from Revelation 3:14. Give me that one. See, that was a continuation of the same scripture. Revelation 3:14. Let's pull that one up. And then after you get that one, the next one going to be Malachi 4:5-6. Revelation 3:14 says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean. Now, see, most people looking for a angel from heaven. This was a human. Oh, my. Paul actually says that he was an angel to the church. That's what the Bible say, right? So these seven angels were seven men. Messengers that God used their ministries. What the purpose was is to bring the church back to his word. That's all. God used these ministries to bring the church back to his word. And he used them supernaturally. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So Revelation 3:14 was continued in Revelation 10:7. But God didn't just speak of it in Revelation 3:14. In Revelation 10:7, he also spoke of it in the Old Testament. Malachi 4:5-6. Behold, I will send you. Now, notice that. You is very personal. Now, behold, I would send them. That's why I still got friends in the old church that I left. When I read this scripture, I thought God was talking to me. Others didn't see it. So I'm just patient with them. Y'all still with me? Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Can I say something? Not Elijah the prophetess. Elijah the prophet. Now notice when Elijah comes. How many know we're living in the end time? Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, that's when Elijah comes. It's a continuation of the scripture. Go on to the next verse. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest that come and smite the earth with a curse. Last two scriptures in the Old Testament closes with this. Now, we all know, most people could clearly see that John the Baptist fulfilled the first part of that scripture. Pull that scripture right back up for me again. He fulfilled the first part where it says, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. John, the Bible plainly says in Luke that John the Baptist did that.
Right.
But what we're looking for is the other part of the scripture to be fulfilled. And that was fulfilled in the ministry of William Marion Branham, who was born in 1906, 1909. The Sousa Street happened in 1906. He was born in 1909, died in 1965. Already been fulfilled. God sent a prophet. I wasn't even born before he came, but his ministry is still influencing me. Thank God for it, too. I'm glad to be walking underneath this truth. Can we go a little further? Now, you know, before a man, he could get into what his real ministry was, because his real ministry wasn't just the signs, wonders, and miracles.
Right.
The real ministry was Revelation 10:7. Can we read it again? The real ministry was Revelation 10:7. That was the real purpose of God sending him. Turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers, which meant turn our hearts back to the word. Look, we only do things in this church that's based on the word. If it ain't in the word, we ain't doing it. I don't see praise dancing in the word. I don't see it. Well, we got to, you know, let them minister high. The only time I saw dancing like that was with Herodias. And a prophet ended up losing his head over something like that. Praise God. And you let that keep going in church, a lot of other brothers going to lose their heads. You might as well say amen. Huh? Lust spirit just running all over the church. We want to keep that down. I just watch these brothers. They just minister. Hey, brother, I'm looking at your eyes, my friend. That ain't no ministry. It's ministering to the wrong spirit inside of you. See, I'm going to just be so bold and say this. It used to be you only watch stuff like that on TV. 9 o'clock, after 9 o'clock. You know what I'm saying. It had to be on HBO or Showtime. Now you can go to church. And see this nonsense. Not here. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And anyhow. I don't even know what would happen if you tried to get up here and praise dance. I don't even know what would happen. Praise God. All right. Amen. Not here. I'm trying to go further in this, y'all. I really am. I don't even know where. Revelation 10:7 is his ministry. It's his ministry. Revelation, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished as he hath declared it to his servants, the prophets. Now there's many mysteries that we're talking about here, that the scripture is talking about. And I don't have time to go through all of them, but I can tell you one mystery is what really happened in the Garden of Eden.
Right.
Did they really eat an apple? Or an apricot, like some say. Did they eat a fruit and this lady recognized she was naked? Not only recognized she was naked, but also ate a fruit and had a child from it? Come on. We know people don't eat no fruit and have children. We know how people have children.
So that's if wasn't something so supernatural. Boy, this fruit ain't even here no more. It's still here. It's still here because they're still having children the same way. Right? Amen. So what happened was adultery in the Garden of Eden. And that's why the Bible even says, in one place it says, Cain was of that wicked one. That's not Adam. Adam was not wicked. Adam was God's son who willfully went into sin. Huh? He couldn't redeem his wife, but in order to be identified with his wife, only Christ can redeem. Fallen man can't redeem, right? So Adam identified himself with his wife, just like Jesus identified himself with us by leaving his throne in glory and coming down to earth and dying for us, right? But we know it was adultery. She got a man from the Lord. Do you realize that any woman that gives birth to a child, naturally, God had to be a part of that? You know, it take a miracle for her body to do what it does to bring forth that baby. Because if the body don't do it, then they have to do some cutting. Right. Come on, somebody. Right? So it take a miracle. So whether you saved or not saved, it still take a miracle for God to touch your body to bring forth that child. That's why you can use terms like, I have got this child from the Lord.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. She had twins, Cain and Abel. Right? Abel was from Adam. Cain was from the devil. The devil got into the serpent. That's why in Genesis 3, you see, when God called everybody to give out their punishments, mm-hmm. He didn't call for no alligator. No. He didn't call for a chimpanzee. Didn't call for a gorilla. God called for Adam, he called for Eve, and he called for that serpent. Yes, yes, and the serpent, the punishment for the serpent, y'all remember y'all Bible? Yes. The punishment for the serpent is that the serpent had to go on his belly. Right. That tells us something. That means the serpent stood on 2 feet at one time. And the serpent was the closest thing to a man than man himself. Now, you know what? I didn't know that when I was in my Baptist church. I found that out when I found out God sent a prophet and revealed these things. That was one mystery. Another mystery is how are you really supposed to be baptized? Because we got churches baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Jesus said. Yeah, I know. And now you're telling me 10 days later, the same man that was walking with Jesus, sleeping with Jesus, talking with Jesus, same man that got keys to the kingdom, got it wrong? When 10 days later he said, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? He didn't have it wrong. He didn't have it wrong. He had the revelation.
Amen.
Right? He didn't have it wrong. See, what it is, people done lost the revelation.
Right.
But Peter say, the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost is Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, right.
How you gonna pray and bind devils in his name, but can't get baptized in his name? You don't be praying, you know, with you something happened. I'm talking about something real go down. You ain't saying no, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy. Ain't nobody using that. You know what name to call. In the name of Jesus. Like I told you, that plane was going down. That fella spoke in two languages. In the name of Jesus. In the nombre de Jesus. Make sure you get this. But that truth had to be restored to the church. Otherwise, we'll be walking around in darkness. Stumbling around, still trying to find our way. But God brought this truth back. I'm trying to get somewhere. So many other truths. Is it one God, two gods, or three gods? No, it's one God. It was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But all those are just titles or offices of the same God. In Old Testament, he was God the Father, the God above us. In the New Testament, amen, Jesus Christ walked with the disciples. Emmanuel, God with us. That was God with us. It's the same God. All he's doing was changing his mass. It's the same God. Hallelujah. And then in this day, since Jesus is not physically walking with us, he sent his spirit, and now that's the same God dwelling in us.
Amen.
Not three gods, one God. But we done got this all mixed up. Now Christianity look like it's pagan. These are mysteries that had to be restored. And see, Brother Branham taught those truths. There's a lot of healing campaigns going on but people teaching truth that was different. His ministry was, and the ministry came after a man, all these, I mean, the scripture said in Revelation 10:7 there, it says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. So all those truths were already finished as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, let me also say, only a prophet can give you truth. Theologians can't. Only a prophet can give you truth. That's the way God speaks. That was his primary way of getting his word to his people, is through a prophet. All right. Here's where I'm trying to go. So before he actually came to Revelation 10:7 and the manifestation of that scripture in his ministry, he was continuing from Malachi 4, continuing from Revelation 3, and coming all the way into Revelation 10:7, and now God wants to do something with him. So I didn't read all this, but it was the seven thunders uttering their voices. That was Revelation 10, verse 1 through 7. It's talking about the seven thunders uttering their voices, which was the revelation of the seven seals that the prophet brought us. Nobody else could bring that revelation. So God used the prophet to bring that revelation to his people, and that's what settles the church. All the revelations that are contained in the seven seals. So it was the literal revealing of Revelation 5 and 6. Messages that God would give him. But before he could give him these messages, he had to prepare him to go a particular place. Now, I told y'all on Friday, Brother Branham, when a vision come, he couldn't put people in certain places to make the vision happen. If the vision say, this person's sitting here, this person's sitting here, and then you're going to pray for them, and then God going to, that it had to be exactly according to the vision. One time he went to pray for that boy, and it wasn't according to the vision. The boy almost died. Wow. He had to wait for everything to get in place before the vision could be fulfilled. Now, I want to tell you something. That was training. That was training, getting him ready for Revelation 10. Oh, hallelujah.
Fine.
That was all training to get him ready, because he could not go west to get the seals until everything was in place. And God used six dreams and one vision to get him out there to the west. All I can do is give you the six dreams right now. I'm trying my best to get out of here. Just stay with me. Let me give you this. Six dreams. This is all out of the message services. This is the time. First dream. Brother Jackson had a dream in February of 1961 about the top of the rock. He said Brother Branham was interpreting the mysterious writing on the stones that was in the rock. It says the prophet picked up like a crowbar and ripped the top of the rock off and told the people, light had never shined on this before. Look on this. And the people began to scatter after the prophet went west. He said only a few stayed to look on the stones that had never been interpreted. So when Brother Branham was preaching the message services this time, he was actually trying to tell the people, look, I'm getting ready to leave my church, not leave Branham Tabernacle, but I got to go west because God got something else for my ministry. He said, but while I'm gone, stay with this now. Stay with this. Don't get up and leave. Just because I'm out west, don't leave church. Keep coming to the church. When God give me something, I'm coming back, but I got to go west according to a vision. So this vision, this dream is connecting to the vision that God gave him. And Brother Jackson saw this in a dream. God used six dreams. Here's the second one. Brother Beeler had a dream. He says he dreamed he was going down a stream of water going west. And see, notice how everything is going west, sending the prophet west, right? He said he dreamed he was going down a stream of water going west. It seems as if he was hunting for cattle. He saw the prophet rounding up cattle. After he got them rounded up, the prophet was motioning to Brother Beeler to watch over the flock. Watch over the cattle, I should say. He says, watch over them. And he told Brother Beeler in a dream, keep the cattle on the right side.
Yeah.
In the dream, amen, he knew the cattle would want to go the way of least resistance. But they must stay on the right side of the river. Now, what did that mean in the dream? He said the cattle staying on the right side mean stay out of denomination. Get them out of, keep them out of denomination. Stay on the right side of the river. Amen. And when Brother Beeler gave Brother Beeler the cattle,
He took off and went western. So now, you know, here we see right here in this dream, God speaking, stay out of denomination. How are you going to go back in? Stay out. I'm going to show you according to the dream how people go back in. It's right here in these dreams. The next one, third dream, was Brother Roy Roberson. He had a dream that he and Brother Branham were rounding up cattle. And all the brethren were eating dinner, and Brother Softman raised up while they were eating dinner and said, Elijah the great prophet will speak today at noon. You know, but unfortunately, when people heard that, the people didn't wait around at noon to hear what the prophet had to say. They took off and did not hear Elijah the prophet. Number four, this was Sister Collins, the pastor's wife. Well, actually, she was the deacon's wife at this time, but eventually became the pastor's wife. Sister Collins dreamed a dream of a wedding in the church. And the bridegroom came in. She said the bridegroom was perfect. She said, but the bride didn't really look that good. And it seemed, she said, it seemed like a communion or a big dinner was being served in the church by Brother Neville, who was the pastor at that time.
Right.
And when she saw the big dinner, amen, being served in the church, Sister Collins got upset. But she said the food that was being served was the best food that she'd ever seen. But because it was being served in the church, she thought that she should leave and go somewhere else. She was upset. I'm talking about the dream. In the dream, she got upset about the food being served. She influenced her husband to leave. This is the dream. She was influencing her husband to leave. Now, notice what happened. Now, this is her dream now. So they were leaving to go elsewhere to eat since she was feeling it was wrong for them to have food in the sanctuary. And this is a statement. When they did, when they was getting ready to leave or go somewhere else to eat, say the light on the right-hand side went out. Now, this is the direct quote. He said, when they did, the light on the right-hand side went out. And now the prophet said, now you know what that is. Now some of y'all saying, we know what that is. They was getting ready to leave. Because she was upset. Notice, the wife was upset that they were serving food. In her dream, she was upset that they were serving food in the church. So she encouraged her husband, and they were getting ready to leave. And as they were leaving, the light went out. Now, the prophet said, you know what that is. Let me go on a little further. The prophet said, the bridegroom is perfect, but the bride is not perfect yet. He said, the food that they were eating was spiritual food. And he also said, we know what it was when the light went out in the dream. And I want to say this. Your light will go out if you stop eating the revealed word for your day. Amen. So as they were leaving, the reason the light was going out because they stopped feeding on the food for their day. Can I say it again? Your light will go out if you stop feeding on the word for your day. Can I go a little further? Two more. Brother Parnell had a dream that he was coming to a meeting in a new church. I like that, Brother Devin. Thank you. You caught it. You caught it. Glory to God. Amen. He caught it. All I need is one to agree with me. If two of us touch and agree, we can have anything. Because that's the same thing I said when I read it, brother. The brother said he was coming to a meeting in a new church. See, he went somewhere else. He went the same place I went to. Because I'm coming to a meeting in a new church.
Amen.
Brother Parnell had a dream that he was coming to a meeting in a new church. He was told, now this is good. This is going to be good. So he was told this is a closed meeting and it's only for the deacons. He felt stepped on a little and went out the door. But once he got outside, he saw Brother Branham standing there and looking westward. See, a lot of them are pointing westward. This was before he could go and fulfill Revelation 10:7. He had to go out west. That's where he met the seven angels, 1963. Cloud come, amen, of seven angels and revealed to him, told him to go back east and preach the seals. Before that happened, he had to be out in the west. He knew he had to be in Arizona. God showed him that. Look at this. He says, once he got outside, he saw Brother Branham standing there looking westward. The prophet told him not to feel stepped on. I like this. Don't feel stepped on, but I will direct you what you should do. This is important. The prophet told him in the dream he would first come to Zipporah, which meant hyphen or stop. He says, but when you, But pretty much, but when you get to Zipporah, don't stop there. Then he says his second stop will lead him to an old woman. But don't stop there. He says, Brother Parnell, go until you see my wife. And when you find my wife, stop there. So in the dream, Brother Parnell looked back and he saw his own wife pumping water from a well. And he saw a minister trying to pull away from the pump. Now, Brother Branham says Zipporah in this dream represented, Zipporah and the old woman represented churches in the dream. Hallelujah. Look at this. It says, no matter how old the organizations were, they were not supposed to stop there. But when you find the wife, his wife, which was the church of God, the church that God had called out in the last day, stop there. I said it. Because sometimes we've been looking and we've been a part of this organization, that organization, we done stopped at many of them and can't find what we're looking for. But when you find Christ's wife, his bride, you can stop searching.
Amen.
You ain't got to wait for nobody to put no chair out for you to join no church.
Amen.
You know where to stop. Stop there. I want to say it again. Let the Holy Spirit let this one sink. Stop there.
Amen.
Stop searching.
Amen.
Stop there.
Jesus.
This is the last dream. Sister Steffi came to the prophet's house. She had a dream. She says she came to the prophet's house for prayer before she went to surgery. Sister Steffi dreamed she was out west. And she saw a really old man standing on top of the mountain looking eastward. She couldn't understand who the old man was, but she kept drawing closer and closer. And let me tell you something. You might not understand what I'm talking about. Just keep drawing closer, closer. It all makes sense. She kept drawing closer and closer. She then realized that the old man was Elijah the prophet. She said, I must see him, and ran towards Elijah to speak to him. And when she got his attention, it was actually Brother Branham. And Brother Branham asked the sister in the dream, what do you want, Sister Steffi? And see, and so she woke up from the dream, but the thing of it was what she wanted was the prayer to be prayed for before she went into surgery. And when she came to the prophet's house before she went into surgery, her dream was actually manifested. But God gave her the dream about him being in the West to confirm some things to him before Revelation 10:7 was fulfilled. Because he had to go west and then come back east to bring the seals. Brother Branham had a vision, and I'll close with this one here. This vision went along with the dreams. This is out of Sources, this is the time, and this is going to be paragraph 114. I'll close with this here. Before Revelation 10:7, And I could just also go a little further and tell you, amen, that the fulfillment of Revelation 10:7, the fulfillment of Malachi 4, 5, and 6, the fulfillment of Revelation 3:14, all of those things are connected to our Lord's second coming. All of those scriptures are connected to the second coming of the Lord. Just as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, God had another messenger in this day sent to forerun the second coming. We're not here just quoting things just to be quoting things. But God has a way of getting his word to his people before destruction strikes. It says, one day coming down 5 years ago, Brother Norman's, I was driving down the road, just had a meeting up there, and the Lord God appeared to me in a vision. I was sitting in front of my gate up here at my house, and it seemed to be bad weather. Many of you people will remember the vision. It's wrote in my book of visions. I put them down so I'd be sure that I don't forget them. And in this vision, I saw there was something that had come through the lane. And there were stones laying all over my yard. And there was graders and scrapers up and down the lane. And trees had been cut down and rooted up. And I started to turn into the gate. And it was all blocked off with stones. I got out. This is a vision now. I got out to say to the man, why this? And he got very hostile. Shoved me backwards and said, that's the way with you preachers. I said, I only ask you, why did you do this? You're coming over on my side of the street here. Why did you do this?
And he just almost slapped me and shoved me back. And I thought, I'm just going to tell him that he doesn't know what he's talking about in the vision. And a voice spoke and said, don't do that. You're a minister. Can I say something? Don't do that. You're a Christian. Don't do that. You're going to destroy your testimony. Don't do that. Don't post that. Don't go there. Don't do that. I could preach it. Just I could call it, don't do that. Don't do that. You're a minister. And I said, very well. And I turned around, and to my right, sitting in front of the gate, was an old prairie schooner. You know what? A covered wagon. Now, I told you, dreams sometimes are symbolic. The prairie schooner actually represented his station wagon. He owned the station wagon. And so after this event happened to his front yard, they were getting ready to widen the street, come right down the lane. He had to actually take his gate and move it. It was a stone gate. And he had to take it up and move it back a little bit so they can get the street in there. And God had showed him, when this comes to pass, go west. He says, now turn around and to my right, sitting in front of the gate, was an old prairie schooner. You know what? A covered wagon with horses hitched to it. What's the horses representing? Horsepower in the car. Y'all get that? You know Nahum said he saw carriages. He called them horseless carriages, right. And he said they jostling in the street. Now that's how he described it. Right. He didn't know what to call it, but we call them cars. Yes, horseless carriages. What do they mean jostling the streets? Accidents. Uh-huh. Nahum saw it. A prophet saw it and started describing it. Oh my God. Yes. Hallelujah. Look at it. It says, and sitting opposite the driver's side was my wife. I looked back in the back, and my children were sitting back there. I climbed up on the wagon. I said to my wife, honey, I stood all I can stand. And I picked up the lines and pulled the lead horse and started heading westward. And a voice said to me, when this comes to pass, then go westward. Now, he had the other dreams that was also telling him, go westward. So he knew at the beginning of 1963, he had to go westward. And he made some statements, say, if God don't speak to me while I'm out west and, you know, in a short amount of time, then I'm going further. I'm going on up into Alaska. And he said, if God don't speak to me while I'm in Alaska, then I'm going without food for a long time until God speak to me. He knew he had to go west. Other thing that happened in some of them dreams, one of the people said that after Brother Branham went, he pretty much disappeared. They didn't see him no more. And can I tell you, that after he come back, he went west, March of 1963, got the seals, brought them back here to the east, start preaching them. And now we got the revelation of what, Revelation 5 and 6, what it means. We got that now. You know, within about 2 years after that, God called them home. He was finished. The mysteries were finished. But all of that happened, and all of it was connected, just like Joseph had a dream at the beginning, at the first coming of the Lord. Here God using all these dreams at the second coming of the Lord to show us where we're at. And now I'm bringing you things that happened back in 61, 62, 63. How much closer are we now? How much closer are we now? I can tell you this much. If you've been searching and trying to find this and trying to find that, stop. You found where you're supposed to be. You know where you're supposed to be. And now let this get you prepared for this great rapture. Let's pray. Father, your word has been spoken. These different realms that you deal with people in. Visions, dreams. Sometimes in the humanistic realm of just believing that you will do it. Just hoping and believing that you'll do it. My prayer, Lord, is that people would hear the still small voice of the Spirit speak to help them, oh God, to find peace and to settle them, Lord, in their searching. And we know, God, that there's a place that you could have for us to go where we can be fed Elijah when the famine was on, and there is certainly a famine in the land today. It's famine for spiritual things. But Elijah had a place that he could go and be fed. He couldn't go everywhere. There was only one place that Elijah could go and be fed. Lord, it's the same thing today. It's only one place that we can go, and that's wherever the revealed word is being spoken. If we're not hearing the revealed word, God, we're missing it. Our attention should be on you, you being the great bridegroom. You were perfect. And as the dream said, we weren't perfect yet. But, oh God, we're coming into that because the word is bringing us into it. Lord, my prayer is that you would help us to hear what the Spirit is trying to tell us in this hour. Don't let us miss it. Please, God, don't let us miss it. If there was ever a time to hear the voice of God, that time is right now. God, we're careful to give you honor. We're careful to give you glory. We're careful to give you praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is that it's okay. All that I hate is to be heard, but to hear say word of God speak, pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see all your majesty. Help me to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Oh, I'm finding myself. Brother Solomon, would you come? In the midst of you. Come on, think about these words. Beyond the music, beyond the noise, oh, and all that I need, yes, is to be with you, oh, and in the quiet, hallelujah. Lord, I hear your voice, hey, in word of God. You pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. Help me to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty? Be still and know that you're. Come on, one more time. Say, word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain,
Heads, Lord God, Lord, knowing that you won't lead us where you can't keep us, Lord. If you give us a dream, if you give us a revelation, if you give us a vision, Lord, it's all by your grace, Lord. You're bringing us to a place, Lord. We're so grateful, Lord God, that you would speak to our hearts in this hour, Lord, to cause us to be an established people, settled on your word, Lord. Thank you for making yourself known, Lord. Thank you for the revealed word of this hour, Lord. Father, we're so grateful, Lord God, again, that you, Lord, would come to deal with our hearts, Lord. Lord, to give us guidance on how we should walk. And I pray, oh God, that may each one of your children, Lord, that were under the sound of the voice today, Lord God, meditate on the word that we've heard, Lord. Father, may we walk in the light that you have granted us. I ask, oh God, your blessings upon this people, Lord, and all of our brothers, wherever they may be, and our sisters. We ask, oh God, Lord, that you bless and anoint and strengthen our pastor and all of our ministering brothers, Lord. Keep us as we leave this place, oh God. Bring us all back at the appointed time. We'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and glory. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. God bless you, my brothers and sisters. You may have your seat. Sisters, could you please stay over after the service for a quick meeting? So all the sisters, if you will, just remain in your seats.